Morning. Today's Daf and Shabbos Nun Gimel. We are on the Mishnah Nun Beis Amud Beis. We're in the fifth parak of Shabbos. We are discussing animals and what they can go out with on Shabbos. We have a mitzvah in the Torah that not only do we have to rest on Shabbos, our families, our animals as well. Shisas Behema. Shisas Behema requires that we have to make sure that our animals do not violate Shabbos. Now again, as I already pointed out in the beginning of the parak, it does not mean that you have to make careful that your animals are going to refrain from eating grass on Shabbos. That's not part of Shisas Behema. Shisas Behema means that you cannot do an action and thereby forcing your animal to violate a malacha. The one malacha that we've been focusing on is the malacha of Hotza'ah. And that means to say that your animal can't carry a burden on Shabbos. In doing so, your animal would be in violation of the malacha of Hotza'ah. If the animal is wearing something which is serving the animal, in that it's going to protect the animal, a shmira, like a halter, or a leash or something along those lines, that would be acceptable. Rashi in the beginning of the parak described that as a tachshit, and therefore that would be totally permissible. However, if it's something which is not protecting the animal, that falls under the category of a masri, and therefore that be prohibited. And since we began the parak begins on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, just a blot and a half ago, So the Mishnayos and the Gemara have been focusing on what exactly the animal can go out with on Shabbos and what can an animal not go out with on Shabbos, hence the name of the perek, Bamei Behema Yotza. What can the animal go out with? So far, we've been talking about various leashes and halters. The Gemara now continues Chamor. We're on the Mishnah on Nun Beis Amud Beis. Yotze Bim Mardas. So a donkey can go out with a Mardas, Bizman Shikshura Bo, as long as it's tied up. The mardas is a saddle blanket. It's not the actual saddle itself, but it's a saddle blanket. So as long as it's tied up to the donkey, so the donkey can go out with it on Shabbos. As we're going to see in the course of the Gemara, this is serving the animal. The Gemara is going to describe how it's going to warm up the animal. And so therefore it's serving the animal. So it's like clothing on the animal. Why does it have to be tied up? So as we're also going to see together in the Gemara, the concern is that if it's not tied up, it's going to fall off. And if we're talking about within a Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be very tempted to pick it up and carry it. So it must be tied up to the animal. We'll discuss other reasons why it has to be tied up to the animal. That'll be coming up in just a moment. Zicharim Yosim Levuvim. As far as the male sheep are concerned, otherwise known as rams, so they can go out Levuvim. We're going to explain that term much better as we get to the Gemara. Many terms that we're going to be seeing here in the Mishnah, we're just going to wait till we get to the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to be having discussions regarding all these terms. Rechelus, as far as sheep are concerned, the females, yotz os, shechuzos, kivulos, vikavunos. So they can go up, and there are three descriptions over here in the Mishnah. Shechuzos, kivunos, kivulos, and kivunos. The idea behind these terms, even though we're going to be discussing them in much greater detail, is that they're serving the sheep, they're protecting the sheep, and specifically protecting the wool of the sheep. But those are all acceptable. Ha'izim, when it comes to goats, yotzot tsururos. So they can go out tsururos. Now tsururos is having their udders tied up. Rabbi Yossi Amar Bekulan Chutz Min Rabbi Yossi Oser Bekulan Chutz Min Rechelim Hakvunos. Rav Yossi forbids all these animals to go out with all these various materials that we just described, with notable exception to the sheep, to the ewes, that are kivunos. Again, we're going to explain Rav Yossi's position much better as we get to the Gemara. Rav Yossi obviously feels that all these items that we described are not a tachshit. They're not ornamental. They're not for the purpose of the animal. They're all considered a masui, with notable exception of kivunos. And again, all this is going to be explained much better. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Izim Yotzim Tsuros Liavesh Valo Lechalev. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that when it comes to goats, they can go out with their udder ties, but only for a specific purpose, only to dry out the other udders, but not to capture the milk coming out of the udders. Take a look at the bottom Rashi on the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Sfira Leke Tanakama Delav Masavuhu. Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Tanakama that tying up the udders is not considered a burden. But that's only if I'm drying out the other, the mahadik shapir. And that means that the knots that are tying up the udders are very tight. And therefore, we're not worried that you're going to end up carrying it. Meaning if it falls off, you're going to end up carrying it. But if you are just putting the the cups underneath the udder in order to capture the milk, they're not going to be tied on so tight. If they're tied on too tightly, the milk is just simply not going to come out. And the problem is going to be is that it's going to fall off and you're going to end up carrying it. Dal amas b'shur sarabim. So really, if you think about it, in the Mishnah, aside from the fact that there's so many of the terms in the Mishnah we did not yet explain, and all of them will be explained, but one of the ideas that we're already capturing in the Mishnah is that there really are multiple concerns. And we just have to navigate which concern we're talking about. And we're going to see really more in tomorrow's daf that it's going to be a little bit difficult just navigating through all these different prohibitions, what really is at issue over here. Two of the issues that we already saw in the Mishnah is whether or not it's a tachshit or it's a masui. Is it something which is serving the animal and therefore like clothing to the animal? Or is it just simply a burden? So that's one issue. And the second issue we saw is that the concern that if you put something on the animal, even if it's serving the animal, but it ends up falling off while the animal is traveling through a Rishus Rabbim, you're going to be tempted to pick it up. And so that's another rabbinic concern as well. So there are a lot of moving parts of the Mishnah, and there are a lot of issues, at least two in the Mishnah, and we'll see there is more coming up as we go through the Gemara. We are on the Gimel Amud Aleph, we're starting the Gemara Amar Shmuel. So here we're going to start off nice and easy. We're going to be talking about the donkey. The first pisk of the Mishnah is that the donkey can go out with a saddle blanket. That's the mardas, as long as it's tied up. So the Gemara begins on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph Amar Shmuel v'hu shekshuru lo me'erev Shabbos. So Shmuel qualifies. Yes, it can go out with the saddle blanket, but that's only when it was tied up on Erev Shabbos. Now, why is there a requirement that it be tied up on Erev Shabbos? Meaning it can't be tied up on Shabbos itself. So you could have easily said, I could have easily said, that the issue is kshira. In other words, tying is one of the malachas on Shabbos. And so therefore, tying it up on Shabbos would be a violation of kosher. One is not allowed to make a permanent knot. But it doesn't seem from the Gemara that that's really the issue. The Gemara does not mention it as the problem. But it's really not clear from the Gemara what is this requirement that it has to be tied up before Shabbos. So let's take a look at Tosfos over here on the top of the Amud. Rashi over here is quiet, but the truth of the matter is Rashi coming up in tomorrow's daf is going to, on the Amud Beis, on Nundal Amud Beis, is going to really give an explanation, but Tosfos here quotes it, so we can just see the Tosfos on the top of the Amud. Tosfos writes, V'hu shikshur lo mer Shabbos, Rashi perish l'kaman, debikshur mer of Shabbos, havi malbush ha'chamor, aval be'inukshur mer of Shabbos, havi masui. Okay, so Rashi offers the pshat that if I tie it up on Friday, so then this blanket is serving as a mabush. But if I'm tying it up only on Shabbos, so it doesn't really look like a mabush, it looks like a masu, it looks like a burden. A little bit difficult to try to explain that in any better. Why should it be that it depends when, what day of the week the animal puts it on? Okay, but that's Rashi's explanation later on. Tosfos offers a second explanation. Hamardas. If it's not tied up on Erev Shabbos, at least it gives the impression that really what you're interested in doing is you're interested in transporting the blanket, the saddle blanket. And so if I tie it up on Erev Shabbos, so you understand that it's there for the animal. But if I'm tying it up on Shabbos, so really at least people could perceive it, or maybe it's true, is that really I just want to move the mardas from point A to point B. And I'm just using the animal as a means in doing so. That's the second possibility. And Tosfos offers a third possibility. If you tie up the saddle blanket on Shabbos, you're giving people the impression that we're going on a long walk. Meaning these saddle blankets that are put on the animal apparently were used for lengthy journeys. And so therefore, if I do it on Shabbos, I give that impression. But I give off that impression. So the way Shmuel understands our Mishnah is that in order to allow the animal to wear a saddle blanket, it has to be already put on the animal, tied on the animal, before Shabbos. Okay, and we just offered three different reasons in Tosfos in terms of why that should be. Deken Ami, we're going back to the Gemara. Sorry, second line down. Amar Rav Nachman Masisa Nami Deka. Your critical reading of the Mishnah would indicate that this is correct. Diktani Ena Chamor Yotze B'Mardas B'Zman She'Ein Ukshiru Lo. Because the Mishnah says that the donkey cannot go out with the saddle blanket if it's not tied up. Now, sorry, this is the Mishnah coming up in tomorrow's daf. Let me read it again. Let me read it a lot better. Ein hachamor yotza b'mardas b'zman she'ein ukshiru lo. The donkey cannot go out with the saddle blanket if it's not tied up. Okay. Now, Hechidami. The Gemara says, can I have better clarity on that Mishnah? You mean to tell me that the saddle blanket is not tied up at all? Pshita. There, if it's not tied at all, so there it has a really good chance of falling, at which point in time you're going to be tempted to pick it up and carry it for Amos and Rishus Rabin. So what the Mishnah means is that it was not tied up on Erev Shabbos. So that's when you can't have the donkey go out with the saddle blanket. So the implication then is that our Mishnah, which is telling you when it's allowed, so there has to obviously be contrast between tomorrow's Mishnah and today's Mishnah. So it must mean that our Mishnah, when it says that's allowed, is talking about where it's tied up on Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says the critical reading is in fact good. Tanya Mihaki, the Gemara supports all this with a brisa, it's a Tosefta. Chamor Yosei Bermadas Bezman Shekshiru Lo Erev Shabbos. So now the Tosefta says it straight out. Meaning up until now, we were saying it in our Mishnah, and here the Tosefta corroborates that the only time the donkey can go out with the saddle blanket is only when it's tied up on Erev Shabbos. V'lo b'ukaf af api shekshiru lo me'erev Shabbos. Now, as far as the actual saddle itself, so that the animal cannot go out with, even if it was tied up on Erev Shabbos. Rishimun Gamliel omer af b'ukaf. Now, Rishimun Gamliel says that the donkey can go out even with a saddle, bizman shekshiru lo me'erev Shabbos, as long as it's tied up before Shabbos. Uvavashalo yishalo masrichin uvavashalo yashalo ritzuas tachas navo. With the only exception being that you didn't tie it up really well. Masrichin and vavashalo yishalo ritzuas tachas navo. The way Rashi explains both these terms is that basically I tied up the saddle so well that it won't shift. It won't shift to either side of the donkey. It won't even shift to the head of the donkey or the tail of the donkey. It was secured and tied that tightly. And Rashi explains, and I'm just paraphrasing over here, and Rashi explains that if it's tied so securely, you certainly are giving off the impression that the purpose of the saddle is that it's there to either support a person or a package. If I'm just tying the saddle on so that it doesn't fall off the animal, so then, according to Rishon Gamliel, that would be okay, that would be fine. The obvious question, according to Rishon Gamliel, why in the world can you tie saddle onto the donkey? Generally speaking, the saddle there is so that the animal can carry a burden, either a person or a package. And what would be the allowance that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is giving that one is allowed to tie a saddle on? So Rashi over here explains that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the saddle is also providing warmth for the animal. The blanket's providing warmth for the animal, and saddle's providing warmth for the animal as well. And so therefore, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel allows the donkey to go out with the saddle, but again, with the same provision, it has to be tied up before Shabbos. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now to the first point of the Mishnah and the Gemara's conclusion that when the Mishnah allows the donkey to go out on Shabbos with the saddle blanket, that's only when it was tied up before Shabbos. And we had a Braisa corroborating this as well. And the additional point that we just made is a debate regarding the actual saddle, whether that could be tied up. Tanakhama says no. Rav Shimon Gamliel says yes. We continue in the Gemara. Bamine Rav Asi Bar Nasan Me Rav Ichia Bar Rav Ashi. The following question was posed from one Amar to another. Malitain Mardas Agabe Chamor B'Shabbos. Can we take the saddle blanket and put it on the donkey on Shabbos? Now, as Rashi explains over here, we're in a chatzer. Take a look at the Rashi. Malitain Mardas. Rashi is above where we are in the Gemara. V'lo Latzeis L'Rishus Harabim. We're not going out to the Rishus Harabim. It just happens to be particularly cold, and I see the donkey's cold, and the donkey's going to stay in the chatzer, so there's no concern of picking something up and moving it down Amos Bereshus Rabin. So can I take the mardas and put it on the donkey on Shabbos? So Amalei Mutter. So that was a question that was posed, and Rabbi Chia bar Rav Ashi says it's mutter, it's permissible. So Amalei V'chima Bein Zela Ukuf. So he says, wait one second. You would certainly agree with me, you can't put a saddle on the donkey. And meanwhile, you're allowed to put a saddle blanket on this donkey on Shabbos? So ishtik. So that was a question that was posed. And obviously, the assumption going into the question is that the ukuf itself, the saddle itself, there's no way you'd be allowed to put that on the donkey. And if you can't put the saddle on the donkey, then why could you put the saddle blanket on the donkey? Wouldn't they both be prohibited? Now, ishtik. Now, when Rav Chia bar Rav Ashi was given this pushback, so he was quiet. Now, Rashi over here says, now, generally speaking, in the Gemara, when you see this kind of exchange, and you see that somebody's quiet, it means that he He didn't have an answer. But as Rashi explains over here, and it will be clear in the Gemara, what the assumption is that his silence was perceived as that I don't even accept the premise of your question. You're telling me that what's the difference between a saddle blanket and the actual saddle itself? And by him being quiet, he just simply was saying, well, I think actually they're both okay. Now, Esve. So now it was understood that that was his thought process. And the Gemara now challenges based on the following braisa. Now, let's say you do have a saddle on the donkey. And now picking the saddle up off the donkey, so you can't do that. The saddle itself is muksa. So what you're going to have to do, the donkey do is the donkey is just simply going to walk around in the chatzir until the saddle falls off on its own. So you see now, and the adkan divrei habraisa, and the point is going to be really simple. You can't take the saddle off the donkey. The saddle's muksa. So now you're entertaining that you could take the saddle and put it on the donkey? You can't even entertain that. Amrle Rebbe Zera Shafke. So Rebbe Zera says, okay, leave him alone. Meaning as far as he's concerned, he actually believes that you can. Kirabei Svirle. He holds like his Rebbe. And Rebbe Chia Bar Rav is in fact holding like his Rebbe. And so you really don't poke at him. Because on this particular issue, he actually thinks you can move the saddle. Dan Rav Chia Bar Ashi Am Rav Tolan Traskala Behema B'Shabbos. V'kal V'chomer L'mardas. Because of the following. Rav Chia Bar Ashi, who is the one who has been given the answer and the one who has had to defend his answer. So he now quotes the following in the name of Rav. That's his Rebbe. One is allowed to hang a basket on an animal on Shabbos, and certainly kavachom lamardas, and certainly take the saddle blanket and put it on the donkey. Let's explain this basket. Basically, if an animal is going to eat, so the animal is going to bend its neck down, in order to eat from a trough or from the ground itself. However, as a luxury for an animal, or if the animal's infirmed. So what they're going to do is they're going to take a basket filled with food, hang it around the neck of the animal, and so that the animal doesn't have to bend down. That's the traskal, that's the basket that we're talking about over here. And as Rashi explains in our Gemara, what the issue is that the traskal, this basket over here, of course it's serving the animal, but if we're going to put this under a category, let's put this under the category of tanuk. Meaning, we're not doing so to protect the animal. This is not a shmira of the animal. This is not preventing pain from the animal. It's not like the saddle blanket, where that's being put on the animal in order to keep the animal warm, and if you take it off, the animal is going to be in pain. This is just simply a luxury item. But Rav is of the opinion that the traskel is something that you could put on the animal on Shabbos, meaning if the animal's enjoying it, that's ta'anug, so that would be okay. Now, if Rav is of the opinion that ta'anug would be acceptable, so that's the Gemara's, that is what the Gemara just taught us. Kal v'chomer l'mardas. Well, certainly the saddle blanket would be fine, meaning according to Rav, once there's an allowance that your animal can experience this extra pleasure, this ta'anug on Shabbos with the basket, certainly the saddle blanket would be allowed to be put on the animal. That's protecting it from getting too cold. And that's sa'ar, that's preventing pain. Umahasam, and the Gemara spells this point out. Umahasam, the mishum ta'anug shari, hach the mishum tzar lo kol shekein. If ta'anug is allowed, certainly tzar would be allowed as well. This is all the opinion of Rav, and the Gemara's point is that Rav Chia Bar Ashi subscribes to this, and so when he was asked the question, well, there's no way you could put a saddle on the donkey, well, he would say, well, if it's there to warm the donkey up, the answer is, yeah, you would be allowed to. Shmuel Amar, now Shmuel's of the opinion, Mardas Mota Traskal Aser. Now Shmuel's of the opinion that the saddle blanket would be permitted, but the basket would be prohibited. And Shmuel's basically saying, look, if it's there to serve the animal so that it does not experience pain, so that's okay. But in terms of the basket, that's only tanug, and Shmuel does not allow that on Shabbos. Also, Rav Chia Bar Yosef Amar L'Shmaitei deRav Kamei deShmuel. Now, obviously, we have a debate here between Rav and Shmuel. Rav allows on Shabbos the moving of both the traskal for tanug and the ukaf and the mardas for tsar. Shmuel only allows the saddle blanket, the mardas, but he does not allow the traskal. So he allows a person to save his animal from tzar on Shabbos, but not this extra luxury of the basket. So when Rav's position was filtered and presented in front of Shmuel, Amarle, so Shmuel's response was really harsh. Ihachi Amar Abba lo yada bimili de Shabbos v'lo klom. If this is what Rav holds, so then he doesn't know anything about Shabbos. Now, admittedly, that's a very harsh statement. But nevertheless, Shmuel obviously feels very strongly that the basket is absolutely prohibited. Now, Rav Zera goes and makes Aliyah. We just described his decision a little bit earlier in the Masechta. And then he learns in front of Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes, who quotes the following in the name of Rav Yochanan. Nosim ardasa gabi chamor b'Shabbos. That one is allowed to put the saddle blanket on the donkey on Shabbos. And again, we go back to what we said in the beginning of this discussion. We're talking about within a chatzar. Amar le yasher v'chein tergamer aryuch b'bavol. So he says, oh, very good. And he says, I'm telling you that Shmuel in Bavol agrees. Now, Aryuch manu Shmuel. Now, Aryuch is a nickname for Shmuel. Rashi over here explains, Aryuch is a reference to a king. Shmuel is described as a king. When it comes to Dine Mamonos, we follow Shmuel, just like a king, makes all financial decisions. Anyway, v'harav nami amra. Now, Rav also allows the saddle blanket to be put on. In other words, when it comes to the saddle blanket, there was no debate between Rav and Shmuel. On that point, they agreed. Oh, it was on the second point that Rav Yochanan is about to teach us. Rav Yochanan says, but you're not allowed to put the basket on the animal on Shabbos. And on that, the response is, oh, exactly. That is Shmuel's position. Shmuel said the same thing. What comes out over here is as follows, that one is allowed to put a saddle blanket on the donkey on Shabbos as long as you're in the chatzar. Meaning the only issue when time becomes an issue is when we're going to go out into the Rishus HaRabim, where there it's going to fall off, and there the real possibility is that the owner is going to pick it up and move it to Alamos Rishus HaRabim. If you're in the Chatzir, so tying up is not the issue, and the issue now is, how is it serving the animal? If it's protecting the animal from pain, so then everyone's in agreement that you're allowed to do. If the animal is cold, and you want to warm the animal up by putting on the saddle blanket, everyone's of the opinion that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. However, something like a traskal, a basket tied around the neck of the animal so that the animal can feed without having to bend down, that's tanug, and that is a point of controversy. Rav is of the opinion that that's prohibited. Shmuel and Rav Yochanan are both of the opinion that it's usur. You're not allowed to move these items for the animal if the only thing the animal is benefiting is only this extra enjoyment. Continuing in the Gemara and Gimel Amad Alf, the Kuli Amam Yom Ardas Mutter. Now, everyone's of the opinion that you can put the saddle blanket on the donkey on Shabbos. Maishnami Ukaf. So the Gemara says, now how is that any different than Ukaf? Because as we saw in the progression of this debate, that the Ukaf would not be allowed. Now, some did allow it. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi did allow it. But the Gemara assumes that most do not allow it. And what would be the difference? Shani Hasam De'efshad Danafa Mimela. So the Gemara says, well, when you put the saddle blanket on the donkey, so what it could do is it could fall off on its own, meaning like we described, the end of the donkey is just going to walk around the chatzar, it's going to fall off. Rav Papa Amar Kan Lechama Kan Letzanana. So Rav Papa says you have to look at what we're looking at over here. If we're looking at warming up the animal versus cooling the animal down, Lechamama is Letzara. Meaning the animal's general disposition is that it is cold. And if what you're doing is you're putting the blanket on the animal, so that is something that is trying to prevent it from experiencing the cold, and the cold for the animal is painful. It's a warm-bodied animal. Litsanana leisleitzar. But if what you're trying to do is trying to cool the animal down, so there's no tsar for that. Meaning animals don't get overheated. That's the Gemara's assumption going into the animals, is that they don't get overheated. And for them, if let's say you're trying to cool them down, well, how are you going to cool them down? Well, they have the saddle blanket on, or they're wearing the saddle itself, and you feel that the animal is too hot right now and you want to take it off because you think that it is experiencing this pain of heat and you want to cool it down. So the Gemara says that that's not our assumption when it comes to these animals. Animals are experiencing cold, and that's painful to the animal. But the Gemara's assumption going into animals is that animals do not get overheated. And as a result of that, if what you're trying to do is take the saddle off of the animal, well, that the only thing you're trying to accomplish is cool the animal down, and the animal is not experiencing pain for this reason. Okay, so that's the Gemara's assumptions going into why it is that you could put the saddle blanket on the animal. Perhaps you could put the saddle itself on the animal if that's going to warm it. That's a point of controversy. Taking them off of the animal, well, there, when it comes to the saddle blanket, you just simply have it walk around and fall off. And the same thing with the saddle, but you can't with your hands take off the saddle off the animal. And the reason why is because by doing so, all you're doing is looking to cool the animal down. And for that, the animal is not experiencing any pain. And just finishing up the Gemara's discussion over here, you know, people say, that even if it's the hottest month of the year, it's the middle of the summer, the animals still experience a chill, meaning that the animal's general disposition, its bodily disposition, is that it's generally cold, and so therefore to put a blanket on, that the animal will benefit from. But to take blankets off of the animal's general state of being is that it's cold. Makes fay. Okay, so what do we have right now? Basically, let's go back to the main point of the discussion of the Gemara over here, because there were obviously a lot of side discussions, but the main point of the discussion over here is that if what I'm doing is going to be serving the animal in the way in which you are removing pain from the animal, and by the way, let's say the words because we really haven't said it yet, meaning one of the guiding ideas behind our Gemara over here is Tsar Bale Chaim, meaning that what we are trying to do is to prevent the animal from experiencing pain. And so therefore the Torah tells us, now the Torah never says it explicitly, the Torah doesn't use these words, but the Torah is basically saying that if there's something that I can do that to prevent pain from an animal, so this is a value of the Torah, Tsar Bale Chaim. The Torah gives us examples of when is this the case, but the Torah doesn't use this as an actual phrase itself. And let's also just make one other very basic point before we go on to the Gemara, and that is obviously there are times where you do cause pain to the animal, but with purpose. You shecht an animal. And there are other occasions in which the animals will, quote-unquote, be mistreated, but the mistreatment of an animal is only when it's serving a purpose. However, but in of itself, if it's not serving any particular purpose for us, in other words, we're not going to eat it, so then you have to try to diminish the pain to the animal. Now we take that idea, we move it over to Shabbos. So if the animal is cold on Shabbos, then by putting the blanket, you're going to warm the animal up and take away its pain. So that's something that is allowed to be done on Shabbos. If it's just for tanug purposes, pleasure purposes on Shabbos, you are not removing pain. You're just simply giving the animal a more luxurious lifestyle. This is a debate between Rav and Shmuel. Rav is of the opinion that tanug would be acceptable to be done on Shabbos. You can, on Shabbos, take the basket and put it tied around the neck of the animal on Shabbos so that the animal doesn't have to bend down to eat. And this animal now is going to be experiencing this tanug, and according to Rav, that would be fine. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says that if it's sa'ar, that he agrees. That you can put the saddle blanket on the animal in order to keep it warm. However, you cannot put the basket around the neck of the animal. This is the position of Shmuel. So therefore, if we can now succinctly summarize the Gemara up until this point in time, both Rav and Shmuel are of the opinion that for tsar purposes it would be mutter to prevent the tsar, but if it's for tanug, there we have the debate between Rav and Shmuel. Okay, and with that stated, we continue the Gemara. Meisvei, the Gemara now challenges based on another Tosefta. Lo yisei asus bazanav shu'al. A horse cannot go on Shabbos wearing some tail of the fox. The tail of the fox over here, we are obviously not a superstitious religion, but the tail of the fox over here is to ward off the Ayin Hara. Okay. Can I explain that any better? No. But somehow it works, and please don't ask me to explain it any better simply because I can't. V'lo b'zaru shebein einav. Also, some sort of red ribbon tied between his eyes. Interesting over here, this is not for warding off the Ayin Hara, but rather this is lanoi, it's just simply decorative. So the Tosefta's point is that these are practices that were done but they are not going to be considered a clothing for the animal, and therefore these items cannot be worn by the animal on Shabbos. These are considered, they fall into the category of a masoi. Lo yetzei hazav b'kishalom. Now the Tosefta over here just quickly turns to the human, and that is a zav, and we discussed this much earlier in the Masechta, way, way back, on Daf Yud Aleph. The zav cannot go out with a pouch in order to collect the possible zav discharge that comes out of him. Velo izim b'kishe b'dadehem. The goats cannot go on with pouches tied to their udders. Velo par b'chsom shebepiyam. A cow cannot go out with a bit in its mouth. Velo sayachem etraskalin shebepiyam. And these young horse, these foals, cannot go out with a basket tied to their mouth. L'rishus harabim, into a rishus harabim. Velo behema b'sandal shebergleham. An animal cannot go out with what you and I would probably describe as a horseshoe. Velo b'kamei afa pishu mumcha. An amulet, even though it was written by an expert. And we're going to be discussing amulets a lot in the course of the upcoming perek, the sixth perek. Amulets were written, amulets were worn. It was a thing that was done. And so if this amulet was written by an expert, the animal cannot go out with it on Shabbos. V'zuchomer bebehema meba adam. And this is something that's more stringent with an animal than it was with a person. Now that contrast between animal and people, We're gonna clarify what the Braisa meant by that a little bit later. However, when an animal can do on Shabbos, as an animal can go out with some sort of patch on his wound, or let's say the animal has a broken leg and he's wearing splints, that the animal could do. The animal, let's say, it has a placenta that's kind of hanging out. I understand, really disgusting, but if it does that, then the animal does not have to be treated. The animal can go out in such a condition. And let's say the animal is wearing a bell. As long as you stuff it up so that the bell does not produce a sound, so the animal can go out like that on Shabbos, but only in the chatzer. Okay. So the Tosefta over here made a lot of points, and we went through it rather quickly. But the one point, however, that we're going to be focusing on in the context of our Gemara is one line, and that is ketanimi avlo sayachem etraskalim shebepiyam l'rishus harabim. That we said that these foals cannot go out with baskets that are tied around the neck if the foal is going to be taken out into the rishus harabim. And the inference over here is really clear. L'rishus harabim mudalo habechaser shapir dami. That means that only because it's taken out into the rishus harabim, and only because of the concern that once we're on the rishus harabim, the basket's going to fall off the neck of the young horse, and you're going to be tempted to pick it up and carry it dal amas rishus harabim. If we take that concern away, i.e., we're staying in the chatzer, so then it would be okay. Now, we just learned together that one in the chatzer is allowed to tie a basket around the neck of the animal. Now, this is only tanug, presumably. And that means to say now that this is certainly a strong support for the position of Rav. And at the same time, it's going to be a significant challenge to the position of Shmuel. So the Gemara now makes its assumptions, as we are on the very bottom of the Gimel Manav. My love, the Gedolim and Mishum Tanug. So presumably over here, the issue is that we're talking about these large animals, and the only thing that this large animal is benefiting is Oneg Shabbos. It's a luxury item that the animal doesn't have to bend down, but the animal could bend down if it wanted to. And so this again supports Rav. The Gemara says low. No, not necessarily. B'ketanim, the Gemara says that we're talking about really young horse. We're talking about really young foals. Umishum sar, and it's painful. And Rashi explains over here that they were just born or recently born. Their legs are really weak. For them to bend down in order to eat would for them represent pain. And so for the care of these really young foals, so therefore this is not just a tanug issue. This really is a tsar issue. And for that reason, and only that reason, it would be allowed to tie the basket around the neck of these animals on Shabbos. So the Gemara just deflected the proof. We're not talking about large animals. This is not Tanug. We're talking about a really young horse, and the issue is Tzara. Dekanami Dektani, the Gemara says, look, this is a really excellent reading of the Braisa, because Dumi Dekamei Shmamina. Because in the Braisa, we're talking also about the amulets. The amulets that were written was because somebody was experiencing some significant pain. In this case, we're describing an animal, but it's clear now that for the purposes of that the entire context of the braisa over here was to save the animal from pain. Now, and we'll get to just a moment why the animals cannot wear an amulet. If it has any kind of value whatsoever, if it's effective, why can't it wear an amulet? We're going to address that question in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, clearly in the context of the braisa, we're looking to save the animal from pain. So therefore, it's fair to say that the traskal mentioned in the braisa also is looking to save the animal from pain. So thereby, we are correct in assuming that the braisa was talking about a really young horse, a newborn, and for that, the animal, the basket for feeding the animal is for the purpose of preventing tsa'ar. It's not tanuk. We are in a Gimel Amud base. We're at the top of the Amud. Amar mar v'lo b'kmeo, afa pishu mumcha. We come back now to the amulet. The Tosefta just taught us you can't have the animal go out with an amulet on Shabbos, even if the amulet was written by a pro. And we'll talk in the next parak in terms of how he establishes that he's a good amulet writer. And the Hanan Tanan, the Gemara says, what about a Mishnah later on in the Masechta v'lo b'kmeo she'ena mumcha? You cannot go out with an amulet that is written by a non-professional, a rank amateur amulet writer. So ha mumcha shapidami, which would thereby give us the clear implication that if it was written by a mumcha, that would be fine. Ha chinami she'ena mumcha. So the Gemara tries to suggest, well, maybe over here, in our braisa that we're talking about was written by a non-expert. The afa pishu mumcha kitani, the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not what the braisa says. The braisa says it was written by a mumcha. To which the Gemara comments, "Mumcha la adam ve'ina mumcha la behema." Now, this writer of the amulet is a pro, but he's only proven himself. He's only gotten a 5-star rating as it relates to writing it for people. But he doesn't know how to write amulets, or at least yet, he has not proven to be a successful amulet writer for animals. So the Gemara says, "What? Umi ika mumcha la adam ve'lo havi mumcha la behema?" So the Gemara says, is that possible that you could be so specific where you're only a good amulet writer for people but not for animals? And the Gemara's response is simply, "In yeah, that's right. Adam disle mazal mesayale, behemah disle mazal lo mesayale." So the Gemara says that when it comes to people, there is a concept of mazal. So mazal guides the life of every person. Now, obviously these are tough concepts, but nevertheless we'll try to navigate. A person has a certain mazel. The person does have a certain destiny, and so therefore the mazel can be influenced. And so when you have a professional kamea writer, I'm sure everybody here knows. We are discussing things that are way, way above my understanding or pay grade, but at least I know how to say the Gemara correctly. So in that regard, I only have that one small advantage. But everybody here certainly understands. If you've been with me long enough, you know that this is way above my pay grade. But anyway, let's continue. So over here, certainly, a person has a certain destiny, but guided by the mazel could be influenced. And so therefore, you can have a person writing a amulet for a person, and for that, he'll have success. But on the other hand, when it comes to behema, there's no mazel for the animal, there's no destiny for the animal, and so therefore, it is harder to write an amulet for an animal. Now, but the Gemara is not saying impossible, by the way. The Gemara is just saying it's much more challenging. And so therefore, you can have this phenomena where a person is reputed and had success in writing amulets for people, but not for animals. So ihachi, so the Gemara says, fine. So what did we just learn together? That an animal cannot go out with an amulet on Shabbos, but only if it's written by a non-professional. If it's written by a professional, the animal can go out. So ihachi ma'izechom behema mi ba'adam. So the Gemara now asks a really, really good question. Comes out now that in terms of amulet wearing, there's no difference between humans and animals. If it's written by somebody who has proven expertise in this area, both a person and an animal can go out with an amulet on Shabbos. So misvir akameakai asandalkai. So the Gemara says, oh, you misunderstood. When the Gemara was making that last point in the Tosefta, about this is something that's more stringent with an animal than with a person, it wasn't talking about an amulet. And as far as an amulet is concerned, we're on the same footing. With the difference between animal and people is only when it comes to wearing shoes. People are allowed to wear shoes on Shabbos. Animals, on the other hand, are not allowed to wear shoes on Shabbos. And it's in that regard that there's a difference between animals and people in terms of what they may wear on Shabbos. Tashma. We're continuing in the Gemara, and really, in terms of what we're discussing, it is still going to be really the discussion between Rav and Shmuel regarding, is Tanug acceptable to be done on behalf of an animal for Shabbos? Tashma sachin mefarchasin la'adam mein sachin mefarchasin la'beheimah. One is allowed to rub oil and scrape off any scabs of a person. The ein sachin u'mefarchasin la'beheimah, but you're not allowed to do that for an animal. Ma'alav de'ika maka u'mishum sa'ar. So the Gemara says, now presumably over here we're talking about where there's a wound and there's pain. So the Gemara says, lo, digamar maka umishum tanug. No, the wound is effectively finished. And over here we're just dealing with tanug. We're just dealing with something which is pleasurable. Now, okay, good. You see what just happened. Meaning we just defended the position of Shmuel. Shmuel says that sar is okay, tanug is not okay. And the Gemara just explained the braisa to mean that the wound is really done and there really is no pain. And the only reason for rubbing the oil is because of tanuk. And what the Gemara leaves off open-ended in terms of the end of this particular point is that this particular braisa really is difficult for Rav. Because Rav said that for tanuk purposes, it would be okay. To provide a certain enjoyment for your animal, that would be okay on Shabbos, like the basket around the neck of the animal. Well, the braisa just got done saying over here that if it's for tanuk, you can't do that. And what would Rav say in defense? Well, the Gemara doesn't really respond to that. Rashi over here writes, and we're going to have to invoke a principle that we do in the Gemara, but the Gemara didn't do it over here, but Rashi does, and that is Rav Tanhu Polig. Well, even though the Brisa is against Rav, but Rav has the authority in which he can argue with a Brisa. Tashma. Going back to the Gemara, Behema Sha'achla Damin Ma'amida Masab Ma'im Vishol Shititstani. If, let's say, the animal has some sort of congestion, the blood is not flowing well. So what you cannot do on Shabbos is that you cannot put it in cool water in order for the animal to cool down, and somehow would be an effective way of promoting circulation. If a person, however, is experiencing this, a person can go and sit in cold water in order to promote and help the circulation. Now, the Gemara is assuming over here a number of things. The Gemara is assuming that this achizas dam is not something which is critical, meaning that if we're talking about something which poses a real sakana, it goes without saying that one is allowed to do whatever in order to save themselves on Shabbos. And even if it's a chol she'ein bo sakana, there are certainly many allowances over here. The achizas dam is just creating some sort of discomfort for the person. And so therefore, we say in general that refuah is prohibited because of the gzeira of shchika samemanim, and this is something that comes up again throughout our masechta. So, but over here, one is allowed to go into the cold water in order to promote circulation. Amar ula gzeira mishum shchika samemanim. So the Gemara says now, over here we're talking about the concern that you may end up grinding the spices, meaning the way they produce their medicine. I mean, the truth of the matter is we do so nowadays as well. It's just that nowadays, many of the medicines are made in the laboratory. But in terms of the medicines that are made from the herbs themselves, so you have to take the herbs and you have to grind them. And so the Chachamim made a gzera that if it's a person's experiencing discomfort on Shabbos, one is not allowed to take medication for that, for concern that he may end up grinding the medication on Shabbos. So Yahachi Adam Nami, so the Gemara says, so if the animal cannot go in, because of this gzeira derabban shchika samemanim, so don't we say the same thing regarding the person? Meaning, any time that person is involved in any kind of therapy. Now it's interesting because this therapy has nothing to do with grinding of the spices, but nevertheless, it is still qualified as a refuah, and therefore a person cannot do this on Shabbos because of the gzeira of refuah. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so then what is the allowance that a person can go into the water? So the Gemara says, Adam nir kemekar. Well, when a person goes into the water, it could be understood that he's looking to cool himself down. Ihachi behema nami nir kemekar. Well, can we say the same thing regarding the animal? Ein meker lebehema, the Gemara says, no. As far as the animal is concerned, there's no cooling of the animal down. We can go back to what we said earlier this morning, that an animal is always going to be in a state of cool. The animal never really is overheated. The animal doesn't really need to get cooled down. So now, basically, what we have over here is the following. we have for people this gzeira de rabbanan of refuah because of the concern of schikas amemanim. And so therefore the person is suffering discomfort on Shabbos, so that person is not to take medicine for that discomfort. That is the gzeira de rabbanan. The Gemara is assuming that the gzeira de rabbanan also extends to animals as well. And the Gemara now wants to know, l'mehema migazrin. And the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, when it comes to animals, do we make such a gzeira? V'atanya, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Aizam, and it's chos l'tchom, kare lavi hiba. If the animal is outside of tchom, you can call to the animal, and the animal is going to come to you. Now, tchom is a concept that we're going to be discussing extensively in Masechta Erevin. It's the idea that you and all your possessions are circumscribed within a certain perimeter. Going outside of the perimeter would be a violation. Now, the easiest way to say it is that it's a rabbinic violation, not a Torah violation. But either way, if let's say your animal is outside of tchom and you want to call it back, you may do so and it can come. Now, over here, by you calling it back, you're having your animal violate tchom. And over here, we're not worried that you're going to go and, in order to get your animal back, you're going to walk outside of your tchum in order to bring back your animal. Before we get to Ravina's answer, now the Gemara over here, really interesting Gemara, admittedly difficult to explain. The Gemara is saying that, what do you see when it comes to animals? That certain gzeras are not instituted when it comes to animals. Meaning, if you're going to call your animal out in order to come back within tchum, there's an allowance to do that, even though you may be tempted to go outside of your tchum in order to get back your animal. And we're not worried about that. And similarly, says the Gemara, now it's a jump the Gemara is making, but the Gemara is making that jump. And similarly, says the Gemara, maybe we shouldn't be worried that if you treat your animal in any way, well, you're going to end up grinding spices. The Gemara assumes that if we're not gozer in one area, we're not going to be gozer in another area. And admittedly, where does this end? Meaning, once we're not making gzeras when it comes to you and your animals, so at what point in time do we just simply say there are no gzeras? Okay, so anyway, that's what the Gemara is suggesting. The Gemara says, Amar Ravina Kagon Shai Tchum Shalom Mi Muvla B'Toch Tchum Shalom. So the Gemara says that in terms of the case of the Tchum, it's an extraordinarily complex scenario, in which you have your tchum and the animal has a different tchum. Now, how can that possibly be? Meaning the tchum of your property is circumscribed within your tchum. So Rashi over here explains that what we have over here is that you handed off your animal before Shabbos to a shepherd. And what the animal now does going into Shabbos is it takes on the tchum of its shepherd. And so therefore you can have a scenario in which the tchum of your animal may not be sharing exactly the same tchum that you have. And so therefore we're talking about a scenario in which you and your animal are within an area like a Venn diagram where you have a tchum and the animal has a tchum, but at least there is common area between the two. And so what you are able to now do is you're able to call it into your area. What if you go out? Oh, but it's in the shared area of the Venn diagram. And what about by you bringing it back in? The animal itself is now going to leave its own tchum because it follows the shepherds. So Rashi says, to that degree, we're not concerned. Okay. Anyway, admittedly, that's a really complicated way to explain the brisa, but at least now we see that when it comes to you and your animals, there are generally gzeras that are instituted. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Schika Samanan Gufa Tanaihi. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak now points out that if we look at the brises, we're going to see that this issue of whether or not the Chachamim made a gzera regarding refuah with your animals actually subject to a machlokas tanaim. The tanaim within the brises behemah she'achla karshinim v'lo yirsena bechatzer b'shul she'teis rapei Rabbi Yoshi amatir. Let's say your animals got really full on Shabbos and the animal needs a laxative. Now, back in the day, laxatives could be done many ways, but the Gemara over here is describing one way to provide a laxative for your animal, and that is have it running around the courtyard. So according to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to do that because that's basically treating the animal, and the Tanakhama says that's prohibited. Meaning the gzera of refuah applies to animals as well. Rav Oshia allows it because Rav Oshia basically is of the opinion that the gzera of refuah does not apply to animals. Darsh Rav Halacha ki Rav Oshia, and on this topic, So Rava says that the halacha does in fact follow like Rav Oshia. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar lo yeta azav b'kishalov lo izim b'kishah b'dadehim. We're going back to the topic of pouches. A zav cannot go out with a pouch on Shabbos. That's something that we discussed extensively in the beginning of the Masechta, back on Daf Yud Aleph. The goats cannot go out with pouches on their udders. V'atanya yotzim izim b'kishah b'dadehim. Now we have conflicting brisos. Second brisa says that a goat can go out with the pouches on their udders. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Lokasha hadamahedak vahadalomahedak. So the first answer given by the Gemara, that of Rabbi Yehuda, is it depends if it's tied tightly or if it's not tied tightly. If it's tied tightly, so then we're not worried that it's going to fall off. If it's not tied tightly, we're worried it's going to fall off. And if it does fall off, and we're talking about in the Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be tempted to pick it up. That's one answer. Rav Yosef Amar Tanai Shakalta Me'ama Tanaihi. Rav Yosef says, look, it's Machlokas Tanai. Meaning, we don't have to try to make Shalom between these two brises. It's a Machlokas. Did not. We learned in our Mishnah. Ha'izim Yosef Tzururos Rav Yosef Amar Bikulun Chutzman Rechelas HaKavunos and Rav Yehuda Amar Izim Yosef Tzururos Liyavish of Alole Chalev. We just reviewed the Mishnah that we started off our daf with. And clearly there is a debate in the Mishnah whether or not you're allowed to tie these cups to the udders on, not on Shabbos, but before Shabbos, and whether or not this is allowed. And it's a machlokas tanayim, and that just simply is a reflection between these brises. Ibai say mahavahav Rav Yehuda, or we could just simply say that the two brises both reflect the opinion of Rav Yehuda. V'lo kasha kan liyavish kan lechalayiv. It depends what your purpose is. Is your purpose for drying out the milk supply, or is your purpose to capture any of the milk? Now, what's the difference between what your purpose is? So Rashi over here writes as follows, that when it comes to drying out, if you're tying up the udders in order to dry out the milk supply, so that would be fine. It's for the benefit of the animal. Rashi says that the animal, as long as it continues to milk, that's detrimental to the animal. You want to stop the milk supply of the animal. Obviously, if you don't want to stop the milk supply, so you're not going to tie it up. But by you tying it up to stop the milk supply, it's because you feel that the animal continuing to lactate is going to be detrimental to the animal. And so therefore, this is for the benefit and the purpose of the animal. If, however, you're only tying up these pouches in order to capture the milk, well, obviously over there, what's going to end up happening is that the milk is going to fall into the pouches and the pouches are going to end up carrying the milk. And this is not serving the animal, and therefore this certainly would be considered a masui, and that would be prohibited on Shabbos. That is a third way in order to explain the brisa. So just a quick summary, the brisa had conflicting reports whether or not you're allowed to tie pouches to the udders of a goat, and the Gemara gave three different ways to explain the discrepancy between these two brises. Tanya, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Maisa B'Izim, Beis Antuchia. Okay, so the Gemara just gives us anecdotal, the Brisa gives us anecdotal, in which the goats of Antuchia were really low to the ground, scraping the ground, and so therefore the pouches were there in order so that the udders don't scrape along the ground, and that's fine, and again, that's for the benefit of the goat. Tana Rabbana. The Gemara quotes a Brisa. So the Gemara tells a rather amazing story. Rachmanus, a person lost his wife right after she gave birth, and now leaving him a newborn that needed to nurse. And unfortunately, this person not only lost his wife, but also was in financial straits and did not have any money in order to pay a wet nurse. And so the Gemara concludes the story where a miracle occurred to this man. The man was provided the biological wherewithal so that he himself can nurse his own son. And the Gemara has commentary on this brisa. This person was an Adam Gadol. Look at the miracle that occurred. Amarle Abaye Adarab. Abaye has different commentary on this brisa. Kamagaru Adam Zeshin Ishanlo Seder Bracious. Abai says just the opposite. In other words, this is something which is abnormal. And It's not Seder Bereishis. This is not the way nature was intended. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create man in order to nurse his own child. And so for this person, Shinui, he had to go through an abnormality. And Abaye says, I don't view this positively. I'm Rav Yehuda Barei Kamakashim Azon Shal Adam Shinishanu Alav Sidra Bereishis. And Rav Yehuda has one more commentary to the Braisa. Making a living, it's not easy. In fact, it's so difficult that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to perform a nace just so this person can feed his own child. Amar Rav Nachman Teda de Misrachesh Nisa Velo Avru Mizone. Rav Nachman says you should know that a miracle occurs Velo Avru Mizone. Rather than just simply providing the Mizonas necessary, Kadosh Baruch Hu performed a nace for this person, also commenting on how difficult it is, in fact, to make a parnasa. Tan Rav Anamaisa Ba'adam Sha'echa Chanasa Isha Gidemes Velo Hikar Ba'ad Yomotsa. Gemara tells another amazing story. A man married a woman, and she was an amputee. And he never knew about it until the day she died. Rav now, again, the Amoraim have commentary on the story. Rav says, look, the woman obviously was a tremendous tzanua, and that her husband didn't notice. Amar la Rebbe Chia, zudarka bekach. Ela kamat tzanua adam zeh shlo hikar bishta. What do you mean? Women are modest? That's a default. That women are modest. Rabbi Chia says the real amazing part over here is that her husband didn't notice it. So the husband also gets a benefit of being a very modest individual. Zichron Yotzim Levuvim. This will be our stopping point, and tomorrow we'll pick it up with the describing the rams and the terms used in the Mishnah, and tomorrow we'll give definition to the terms that are used in the Mishnah. Okay, let's recap our daf today. We're talking about the animals and what they can go out with in Shabbos and what they cannot go out with in Shabbos. And the basic guiding principle of the Mishnah is that if it's serving the animal can go out with it. If it's not serving the animal, so then it's a muscle and the animal cannot go out with it. There are many terms in the Mishnah, and we've yet to explain most of the terms described in the Mishnah. That's coming up in tomorrow's daf. In the meantime, however, we noted the following over the course of this morning. One, we talked about how the saddle blanket can be used in order to help warm the donkey, but it has to be tied up before Shabbos, and we went through three reasons offered by Tosfos on the top of the Amud Aleph in terms of why it has to be tied up before Shabbos. Two, we went through a major discussion in the Gemara that as long as your donkey is in the chatzer, can blankets, saddles, and baskets be put on to the donkey and on your other animals on Shabbos. So we're in the chatzer, we're not worried about it falling off, and in Rishos HaRabim, you're going to end up carrying it. So can it be done for the animal? And by the way, something which I should have said at the beginning of this entire sugya, but I haven't missed the opportunity. If we're taking the position you can't, let's say, for example, it's oneg and we're holding like Shmuel, and that means you can't. Why can't you? Meaning, what's the issue? So the Gemara never really spelled it out, meaning we just went through the entire sugya today, and the Gemara never really spelled it out. Tosos on the Amud Aleph, on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, Tosos Divrei Maschil, Ma Li Tein Amardas. So he says that the issue is tircha, that it just involves too much involvement on your part. It is strenuous. And again, as long as your animal is not being saved from pain, so this is strenuous activity. And we're going to see over the course of our Masechta that the Chachamim banned a number of activities which don't qualify as a malacha, but because it's a tircha, therefore it is prohibited. And so if your animal is not being saved from pain, so this would fall under the category of tircha. That's Tosos on the Amud Aleph. I should have said it much earlier today, but not too late. Anyway, so what can you do for your animal? So we had a major debate between Rav and Shmuel that really took up most of today's daf. Rav was of the opinion that anything which is oneg is going to be fine. If it's preventing pain, everyone agrees. You could do that for your animal on Shabbos. But if it's just for oneg, that you're not allowed to do. And the Gemara basically went back and forth between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says it's okay, oneg is okay. Shmuel says it's not okay. And the Gemara quoted numerous brises on the Amud Aleph and on the Amud Beis. And the Gemara left this off as a debate between Rav and Shmuel. And then on the Amud Beis, after finishing this discussion, the Gemara discussed a number of other issues. Is there a gzera of refuah, skika samemanim, when it comes to an animal? A debate amongst the Tanaim. The Gemara concludes that there is no gzera of refuah when it comes to your animals. We discussed pouches used for the udders. We quoted two brises. They are at odds with one another. The Gemara gave three different answers in terms of how to explain, describe these two brises. The Gemara told us two fantastic stories. One regarding a man nursing his son. The other regarding a man not noticing that his wife was an amputee. And the Gemara then provided the commentary of the Amoraim. And the Amoraim went in different directions in terms of what to be gained, what to be learned from these two stories. And with that, we concluded. And tomorrow we pick it up with defining the terms of our Mishnah.